Hey, you with the keffiyeh, keep moving and say, yeah, I see you. You're not invisible, hombre.
Why do they drive so bad here?
This is a scene from a new play called Fallujah.
So they go to this checkpoint, and it's just a normal day on the job. They're doing a checkpoint.
Evan Sanderson is the playwright.
Okay, she said she's not moving her car until we tell her where her son is.
How would we know?
It's Iraq. There's an American journalist. He's embedded with a Marine unit.
And the journalist speaks a little bit of Arabic. And, you know, there were very few, and still are,
very
Arabic
few.
Translators. So he's a huge asset to them. That's how he starts to earn their trust in Iraq.
New sheriff in town!
Hey, Mita, I checked 10 o'clock. Will you, a guy playing with something?
Got it. It's a radio.
Great. Okay.
We have three Marines in the play. And two of them are up there with their rifles. And they're sort of looking around. And they're just, like, jabbering.
Here's something I don't get. How does everyone have cell phones in Iraq? I mean, did Nokia invade before us? It's unbelievable. Like yesterday, I saw a toddler who had a razor. The little bastard didn't have pants on, but he had a f***ing razor phone.
Do not stand, I will shoot you if you move.
Whoa, what the hell is going on here?
Let's try it together. Notice the car looks strange. Check the trunk, there's about 4 pounds of high-grade explosive.
And we have one woman in the cast. She's in an abaya. And she's sort of like screaming and like help me, help me. And he comes over and he's like, well, her son's been kidnapped.
Hey, Gonzo, chill out. That isn't helping.
And then the second Marine, that Marine in charge, comes back to the woman and throws her on the ground and puts the gun right in the nape of her neck. And it's like, and everything just starts to spiral out of control, which is bad news.
Stay calm. Get me the radio. Give me the radio. Okay.
He's like, don't touch. Stop hurting her. Stop hurting her. And they're like, stop it, man. You're not helping here. You're not helping. And he tries to reach out to her, and she gets up.
She just wants to show us her son.
And he starts to panic.
No, we're good.
And he shoves her away.
I can't breathe. You gotta let go, please.
And she gets shot.
Let go!
He basically holds her as she dies.
Clear.
And that's the moment that he realizes that he has to go, that Iraq is not going to be for him anymore.
Evan Sanderson has never been to war. He has never been in the military. He is barely 23 years old and a recent graduate from the Boston University Theater Program. Fallujah is the first play he's ever written.
And it was about 2 years ago in my sophomore year over summer. I remember I was sitting in a cafe up on Commonwealth Avenue, and I saw this little tiny blurb in a Rolling Stones magazine. I was just reading through, waiting for my food, and it said that the death toll from suicides because of inadequate mental health care may exceed the combat death toll.
For soldiers.
And that struck me like a lightning bolt. I couldn't countenance how unfair that was. For the rest of the day, I was really affected. I was like walking around and like crying, and everyone was like, what is going on with you? I was like, I don't know. I'm just sad. And my first impulse was like, I'm dropping out of school. I'm joining the Marines. And I told my mom that, and she was like, she laughed, and then she's like, "You'd be the worst Marine ever," and then she said, "Why don't you do what you're good at, which is tell stories?" So I started to write, and I just wrote and haven't stopped till now.
And now Fallujah is going to Washington. Sanderson has won the Kennedy Center's Quest for Peace Award and the National Student Playwriting Award. It will be performed at the Kennedy Center next weekend before an audience, Sanderson hopes, that's full of politicians, policymakers, and military brass.
Every single person who sees this show, we want them to be like, I understand, I get that, for even one moment. Because the thing that we kept saying when we did that first production was like, the instant the audience thinks they understand what this is, we want to show them, you don't understand what this is. This is much more complicated than that. And really all you can hope to do is sympathize and to try to gain understanding. But the minute you think that you know, it will surprise you.
Even more surprising is the delicacy and insight with which Sanderson tells his story. His unnamed hero is a journalist who, having witnessed the horrors of the early Iraq War, comes home trembling and traumatized. Like many soldiers, including a mysterious one he meets at Walter Reed Medical Center, the journalist finds it impossible to reintegrate into civilian life. As Sanderson writes, when the journalist lays down to sleep, the sand is in the sheets with him. First of all, did you talk to journalists who were embedded? And how is it that you, at the age of, how old were you when you wrote this, 21, 22?
Yeah, 20, yeah.
How did you get in that mind space when, like, you yourself admit you've never had any experience in the military? Mm. You've spent, you know, most of the last 4 years walking up and down Commonwealth Avenue, living the cushy life of a student.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it's a question I still ask myself. I felt a little overwhelmed at first, and I felt like, what can I possibly say that hasn't been said, that smarter people than I have said already on the radio, on TV, in books, countless books written about it? What can I say?
Or even, because do you have the right to say
or
it?
Or I mean, even, like, do I have the right? Exactly.
Is it presumptuous for a 20-something who's never experienced war?
And I live a privileged life. I go to theater school. You know, I'm like dancing around all day in this black box because I don't understand what it's like to be fighting in the desert. And I don't understand what it's like to put your life on the line for a story. But I do know what loneliness is. And I do know what missing someone, and it feels like that my heart is being ripped out of my chest. I know what that's like. I can tap into that. And that's really at the heart of everything. And I wanted to tap into my own fears and my own sense of what this would have been like if I had been there. It's a single life choice, you know? I make a different life choice 4 years ago. They're me and I'm them. And that's kind of what I wanted to understand.
Are you going crazy? Do you daydream about killing brown-skinned people? Do you jump in front of a car and think about what it'd be like? A door closes. Dang! It's an IED. I'm in the desert. Car rumbles by. Bang! I'm in a Bradley. I swear, I can even hear the radio chatter. A girl starts crying. Bang! It's a PFC with a gap where his hip used to be. I'm a sack of flesh stuck in time. So I take some pills, try to fill the hole, go to sleep. And then I'm back again. But this time it's worse, because this time I don't make it back. I don't get so lucky in my dreams, you know?
Yeah.
Interesting that they call it a theater, the theater of war.
Isn't it interesting?
it seems to me that you're sort of taking that and putting it in reverse and bringing their experiences back to people here, mm-hmm. in the United States who are witnessing your play. So after, you know, the performances that you've had, have you spoken to people and asked them what they thought, what their reactions were?
Yeah, and particularly, I know that one of the experiences, we had a Navy SEAL come see our production in the fall, and he was finding it really uncomfortable in the sense that he was seeing his own experience echoed on stage, and it was affecting him in a way he didn't expect, so he got up to leave, but it was like, apparently had this internal monologue with himself, or dialogue with himself, which was like, I need to watch this. I need to stay and make myself see this. And he did, and he was like, I'm really grateful for you to put that on stage. It's very difficult for me to see it, but it really created a sense of like someone is hearing me. Someone knows what's going on with me.
Your veins pump sand now. You want blood? Go back to the desert.
How do you have no pulse? How do you have no pulse? How do you have no pulse? How do you have no pulse?
Well, it's obviously getting a lot of attention because the play is going to be performed at the Kennedy Center in Washington.
It's
and you've won the Kennedy Center National Student Playwriting Award and the Quest for Peace Playwriting Award, also from the Kennedy Center. So the accolades are starting to roll in, which is terrific. But you know, so now you're going to be staging it in Washington, and who knows who's going to be in the audience there. Yeah. It's pretty exciting.
Oh my God, it's so exciting. And the crazy thing is, like, I'm from around the DC area, so I've been around that town. And the Walter Reed Medical Hospital is like a few streets down, you know? And here it is in my play staged. And I feel like what an opportunity to like really sort of spread the ripples a little bit. And whether you support the war or not, you must watch and you must listen. It has nothing to do with support or not support of the politics of it or of the polemics of it. It is, you must witness this. If just to witness that's what we want to do.
Evan Sanderson is the playwright behind Fallujah. A preview of the play will be performed at Boston University on April 21st and in Washington at the Kennedy Center's American College Theater Festival on April 23rd. There's more information at our website, radioboston.org.